Brothers and sisters, in the last session, Job complained of severe afflictions of the heart, like he was screaming in pain. As he was criticized by those who served and followed him, he couldn't bear it. But Job misconceived that God was to blame for all, claiming that he was suffering because God let go of the cord of blessings. He resented God. God was refining Job to give him great blessings, but not understanding God's love at all, Job shifted all the blame to God, even though he himself was to blame for everything. As Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Even when we face a trouble, we are to know that God is trying to provide some awakening through that circumstance. Rather than complaining that your situation is unfair and trying to give an excuse, you have to pray to figure out God's will. In doing so, you will get extra wisdom with which to discover yourself. As you figure out which of your shortcomings has caused you troubles, you can obtain blessings to change yourself completely. Even if you find yourself in an unfair situation, you can endure that sorrow thinking about God. Then God, who knows everything, will cause all things to work together for good. In turn, things will turn into greater opportunities, both physically and spiritually. Therefore, I hope that you will recognize God in all your affairs and wisely put the blame on yourself for everything, thereby quickly coming forth as the fruit of change. Some say, practice charity and sacrifice themselves. He saves money to sacrifice themselves, but as they face some trouble or trials, they think about, as they are criticized for helping others, from others' perspective, but people's heart is like, people have a, but as they are, as someone is in trouble, they show they, but when you face some unfair situation, you shouldn't think, I'm criticized for doing good. If you think that way, you will feel distressed and you will become stagnant. But you have to figure out why such a thing happened to you. And you will also try to figure out the heart of those who criticize you. You will put yourself in their shoes. And you will be careful with your deeds. And even when you practice charity, you don't reveal that. When you practice charity, there are people who are jealousy and envious of you, but you don't care because you did good. Even when you are criticized, you will be joyful and thankful. Then this will be a blessing. Job also had to try to, even when people are jealousy and envious, and if you try to figure out their heart, you will have a greater vessel. Even if you practice charity, there are people who are not happy about that. If you put yourself in their shoes and try to understand them, you will have a. But if you just think that he is being jealous of me because he is evil, then So when we practice the truth, we will not suffer a loss. Reading today's passage, we can clearly imagine how great Job's afflictions of the heart and his physical pain must have been. Job said in chapter 30, verses 17, "And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have seized me, and night it pierces my bone with me, and my gnawing pains take no rest. Days of great affliction were seizing Job entirely." The affliction were great to the point Job used the expression, "My soul is poured out within me." As he was mocked and accused by people around him, he fell into grief and sadness like his heart was being shattered. During the day, as Job disputed and argued with his friends, as his focus was shifted to somewhere else, he was briefly relieved of physical pain. But at night, he just had to struggle with himself. Since he had no one to talk to and had to endure all things by himself, the bone-piercing afflictions must have felt greater with loneliness and sorrow. At night, as I just explained, people cannot have conversation, so they have more fleshly thoughts. Job was right in that situation. So far, Job had resented God, placing the blame on him for all the miseries. Chapter 30, verses 18 and 19 read, "By a great force my garment is distorted. It binds me about as the color of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes." With figures of speech, Job explained how his body was ruined because God struck him with his great force. His garment being distorted and binding him about the color of his coat means that the pus and blood from the boils flew all over his body, and then the cracks of sores dried out, leaving his garment stuck to his skin. Let's say you have dermatitis, you have boils. When you are wearing clothes, your clothes stick to the pus and blood. Your flesh stick to the clothes. I think you share that experience. I think you can understand how Job described that. Imagine Job having severe boils from head to toe and these boils repeatedly bursting and then drying out. Scabs that formed over his skin cracked again as he moved his body, and then pus and blood oozed out from them. As his garment had stuck to his skin with dried pus and blood, he had to suffer whenever he took it off. For this reason, he couldn't change his garments as often as he wanted. Even after he changed, his garment was soon covered with pus and blood and stuck to his skin again. How painful that must have been. Job also mentioned that God cast him into the mire. What would happen if one is cast into the mire? Because of the slippery and spongy mud and slush, it would be like being stuck in a swamp. The more he tries to get out of it, the more deeply he would fall into it. In saying that God cast him into the mire, Job described his situation where he hit rock bottom, struggling in despair. And God making Job become like dust and ashes means that God brought him down to such a lowly place like he was dust and ashes. Job used to have power and wealth and abounded in knowledge and wisdom. As he displayed a lot of charitable deeds out of a good conscience, he used to be respected always, but now he was being mocked and despised. Arguing that it was God who drove him into that misery, Job blamed God for everything. As Job pondered over his situation, he thought that even though he originally had no disease, he suddenly got boils all over his body, lost everything in an instant, and became miserable and lowly. Job concluded that it was only by God's great force that this happened. While Job couldn't find any fault from himself, other people judged and condemned him, saying, "Hey, Job, how much have you sinned that you have become such a miserable man?" How distressed and grieved he must have been. Of course, Job wasn't gone Job wasn't going through trials for some wrongdoing because God loved Job. He put him through trials to give him greater blessings. If Job had figured out such will and providence of God earlier, he would have been given thanks and the span of his trials would have been shortened. But Job had yet to figure it out. In serving God, Job did his best to give burnt offerings, but he wasn't communicating with God. Brothers and sisters, we are to know what a precious and great blessing it is to lead a Christian life while understanding God's will and providence. When you face a trial, how to end a trial quickly and how to overcome the trial and how to change it into blessing. You know the secret. Sometimes trials ending quickly is a blessing, or sometimes as soon as the trials end, blessings come. Even if you don't keep the word in mind, even if you don't get the solution right now, you can have your pastor and get some counseling, and then you are reminded of the word of truth and you are taught the way of truth clearly. What a great blessing you have. Through the gospel of holiness with which our shepherd brought down through countless hours of fasting and prayer, we've heard how great and amazing God's love is. We should always engrave in our heart and not forget God's love of sending His only begotten Son to save us, our Lord's love of hanging on the cross bearing our sins, and His love of waiting 1,000 years like a single day like 1,000 years to obtain true children. We should also understand our forgiving God from our hearts. Psalm chapter 103 verse 12 tells us, as far as the east from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Of course, there's another verse that pairs with this. We find in Psalm chapter 103 verse 18, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. If you don't repent, if you don't turn from your ways, if you commit sins repeatedly, would God forget your sins? No, you have to turn from your ways, and by repenting, then Father God would never remember your transgressions, past transgressions. Namely, if we keep the commands of God, He would remove our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. In other words, He would forgive us for all our sins, as said in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Once we repent and turn from our sins, God doesn't even remember our past transgressions. The important point is we have to turn from our ways. You know what it means to turn from our ways. You have listened to what it is numerous times. We read in Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 21 through 23, but if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? As the verses say, God wants to forgive all our sins and save even the evil. Anyhow, from the Bible, we find cases where people's sins had been piled up to the point they couldn't avoid the judgment. But even in these cases, God tried to see if anyone among them could be saved and gave them chances for repentance until the final moment. Before the judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, God dispatched His angels, archangels, to search the cities. Despite the situation being urgent, He delayed the judgment so that Lot and his family could be saved. This is because Abraham offered up prayer and petition, who knew God's understood God's heart. God declared that He would judge them, but Abraham, but he wanted to save, even try to look for the righteous man. And Abraham understood God's heart, and Abraham pleaded with God. This is also, you can also, the secret to receiving answers in your own life as well. Nineveh, even when the city of Nineveh had to be judged because its citizens' evil had reached God's throne, God gave them another chance for repentance. He sent Jonah the prophet to proclaim that the city would be destroyed in 40 days. As God proclaimed the judgment, He gave them the 40-day grace period. He gave them the last chance for the citizens of Nineveh to turn from their sins, avoid the destruction, and be saved. As we can see, once the evil turn from their sins and live out a word, God tears down their wall of sins and blesses them with healing of diseases, resolution of problems, and salvation. We have received and enjoyed such love. So, no matter whom you meet, you shouldn't say things like, "He is evil, he cannot be saved." You shouldn't condemn someone that way. Even if someone bothers you, you have to think about the love of God, and you should want him to receive salvation anyhow. If you have such a heart, you will be blessed by God, and you will be loved. No matter who bothers you, whoever bothers you, you have a chance to receive blessings. If you forgive even an evil person and praise for his blessing, if you have no one who bothers you, you don't have any evidence. You have no fruit to show. When you are ready, Father God gives you a trial, and so that your goodness can be revealed. And God also reveals it to the enemy devil. And he says, "Look, my beloved son loves me so much, and he resembles me. That's why I'm blessing him." You, enemy devil, you shouldn't interfere with my blessing him. How should we have received such grace and love? So we have to forgive and love others as well. Father God loves, forgives even the evil. This is the heart of a God. There are also, contrarily, what would happen if a righteous person strays from the righteous path and commits sins? Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 24 tells us, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die." Do any of you proudly say, "I used to devote myself to praying, sharing the gospel, and caring for the church members. I used to commit myself to working for God more than anyone. I used to be on the choir, serve as a Sunday school teacher, and give God a lot of offerings." If you remain steadfast in your fervor, you are truly blessed. But no matter how committed you were to working for His kingdom, if you are now befriending the world and committing sins, God wouldn't remember your previous righteous deeds at all. And you will die because of your current treacheries and sins, said God. This means that you won't be saved. So the rewards you piled up in heaven turn to nothing as well. In our Christian life, what matters is the present, not the past. That doesn't mean, let's say you work faithfully for His kingdom and now you're not as faithful. That doesn't mean everything is turned to nothing. Now I'm talking about case you turn away from salvation, like you committed sins leading to death. Then your reward turned to nothing. But let's say your fervor cools down. It's not that you left God. It's not that you commit sins leading to death. But you just have, your fervor cools down. Your enthusiasm cools down. That doesn't mean all your rewards will turn to nothing. Even though you lost your fervor and passion and you are in trouble and you get stricken with a disease, then you can just thoroughly repent and you have to say, Father, I used to be faithful. Please remember my faithfulness and have mercy on me. You can pray like that. Just as the King Hezekiah did, you should know the difference. But I'm talking about the cases where a person committed a sin leading to death. You shouldn't brag about your past, but you have to recover spiritually. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Joab greatly contributed to David establishing his kingdom. He was a significant figure, and he also was praiseworthy because when Joab fought against the Ammonites, after he'd almost conquered the royal city, he let David take it so that all the credit went to the king. He was very praiseworthy in that sense. But when things went against his benefits or didn't agree with his thoughts, he often disobeyed God, David's will. He staged a rebellion to appoint Adoniah as the king instead of Solomon, whom David chose as the successor. Ultimately, he suffered a wretched outcome by Solomon. He betrayed David, and as a result, all the achievements he had made his entire life through toil and efforts turned to nothing. Please bear in mind that in your Christian life, it's not the past, but the present that always matters. Even though you did well in the past, if you don't right now, you will not only lose all your rewards piled up in the past, but you will have problems with your salvation. On the contrary, even though you committed a lot of sins and transgressions in the past, if you have turned from sins and are living the Word, God would forgive you and save you from diseases, tests, and tribulations. We have to understand God's love and justice and His will and providence to lead a wise Christian life. The same goes for our trials. We have to figure out God's heart in allowing us trials so that we can quickly pass them. If we are suffering trials for our wrongdoings, we have to quickly repent and tear down the walls. If we are going through trials to receive blessings, we have to overcome them well with joy and gratitude. If a person who is suffering trials due to the walls of sin doesn't repent, but just spends time expecting that the blessings would come anyway, his trials would be prolonged. If a child is punished by his parents, not knowing why, how could it be any use? Whether he is punished for not doing his homework, doing something bad, or disobeying them, he has to know why, so that he can change. So that he won't be rebuked again, so that he could be complimented. Likewise, when you suffer a trial, you have to discern whether the trial came because of your wrongdoings or for blessings, or to make you bolder and stronger. As for Job's case, if you don't know well, you have to lay down yourself and you have to try to figure out your shortcomings in light of the Word. After you reflect on yourself and you are still suffering a trial, you have to also have to examine whether you have truth and love and goodness. If you don't love someone, if you don't sacrifice yourself, you're not doing a good job still. It's not just about not doing evil. In addition to not doing evil, you have to practice goodness, love, and sacrifice, and the truth. You have to examine yourself in that way. If you haven't done so, when church workers go through the trials, sometimes there are trials to broaden your vessels. David went through trials. He was being chased by King Saul continuously. And David was able to broaden his heart vessels through that trials and could fill himself with more goodness and love. That's how he could receive a lot of blessings. Father God doesn't give this kind of blessings to just anyone. People who will be used greatly go through that trial. You may say, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't hate anyone. Then you cannot overcome your trials. You have to examine in light of God's goodness and love. Someone bothers you. Let's say someone bothers you, even though you don't fight back, but you still feel sad and you lose your passion. This is also wrong. You have to discover that and repent. And then you have a lot of things to repent of. God's love is so great, but just because someone bothers you, you are distressed and you have to ask God for forgiveness for losing your passion, losing your spirit fullness. You are wavering back and forth. You are being carried away because you lack love and goodness. When someone bothers you, you feel distressed. How narrow, how small your heart vessel is. This is something you have to repent of. You have to reflect on yourself. Also, in light of the goodness and love, actually, when you reflect yourself that way, you can, as you, the next thing you have to do is, you have to completely rejoice and give thanks. When you, through all that process, you have to stay joyful and thankful. Then you can figure out, I mean, as you do that, anyway, trials will turn into blessings. As for Job's case, he didn't go through trials for some wrongdoings, but the reasons that God had to put him through trials were revealed one by one. As unbearable trials went on, Job just poured out a great amount of evil in his nature. Since one cannot discover evil in his nature on his own, God has it revealed by ways of trials. In terms of conscience, as well as these, Job was blameless and didn't like anything, but he still had evil remaining in his nature. For this reason, God allowed him trials to reveal even the evil in his nature and have him pull it out. Only through that process, Job was able to change into a man of spirit and receive blessings. Even if you wrapped yourself up with goodness, as long as your heart is filled with evil, this is not real. If you put dirty water in a bowl and leave it on the table for a day, what would happen? As the dirt sinks to the bottom, the water would look pure on the surface. But if you shake the bowl, if you agitate the bowl, it would become dirty again. To make this water pure and clean indeed, you have to completely remove the dirt lying on the bottom. In addition, there could be germs or viruses. There are several factors to judge whether water is clean or not. There should be no dirt lying on the bottom, and there should be no germs. But what about our man's heart? When we are peaceful, our heart seems to be clean because evil lies dormant in the bottom of our heart. When we are peaceful, evil is not revealed. But in the face of trials, in the face of test or trial, your evil attributes such as hatred, anger, envy, etc. are revealed. Only after you completely rid yourself of the evil attributes revealed, but during the trials, people just... When God puts us through trials, people are not ashamed of revealing evil. When they display evil, they don't control themselves. They are out of control because the shepherd's power was out. We had that experience. Don't forget that. We have to remember what kind of evil was revealed. Like envy and jealousy, like gossips about others. We have to figure out what kind of envy and jealousy we had. Even though we hadn't realized that we had such evil, but Because we had envy and jealousy, we used to gossip about others. We have to discover and remember that. We should also discover whether we have a change of heart. When we are filled with the Spirit, we didn't know that we would have a change of heart. But as the God's grace was gone, as Father God gave us time to test ourselves, people realized that we just wrapped up ourselves. We have to truly achieve goodness. People realized that they were carried away by the environment. If we are carried away by our environment, if we are affected by our environment, that's not perfect. That's not perfect, a man of spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, we don't realize that. When you and I are filled with the Spirit, when we are in a good atmosphere, we don't really know it about ourselves. Whether we are fake or genuine is revealed in the face of a trial. The evils you discovered, you have to remember and find them out and pray about that and change yourself. Therefore, you shouldn't be discouraged when discovering your evil. Rather, you are to rejoice, give thanks, and pray fervently so that you can quickly achieve the heart of spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. John went on to say in chapter 30, verse 20, I cry out to you for help, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you turn your attention against me. As we hear that confession, we feel how desperate Job was. Job wanted God to answer him. Job wanted God to say, here I am. I love you. I come. Here I am. I want to give what you need. Job wanted God to say that to him, but there was no answer. Job mentioned that no matter how hard he cried, God didn't answer. But in the Bible, God says the opposite. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 reads, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be given open to you. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 tells us, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. We also find in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God has promises that if we ask, He will give, and if we cry out in prayer and search for Him with all our heart, we can find Him. Yet, even though Job repeatedly cried out to God, there was no response from Him. What was the reason? The reason was, God answers us only in the truth. He had such faith. God works according to our goodness. He works in truth and goodness. We find in Psalm chapter 11, verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, the upright will behold His face. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, when God's children try to find Him with a righteous and pure heart, they can meet Him. Also, if God is willing to answer according to His providence, He can. But it wasn't yet time for God to answer Job. The reason was, God needed to have Job's evil revealed continually. Ordinary people would leave God if they suffer one trial after another like Job. So, in refining and guiding these people, God takes a break, giving them rest from time to time. Ordinary people, God does that with ordinary people. If God continually gives them trials, people would run away. That's why God sometimes takes a break and gives them trial, and then God gives them a rest, and then God again gives them a chance to discover themselves. People have the fullness when things are peaceful, people become stagnant. So that's why Father God has to give them trials so that they will keep growing. They can keep discovering themselves through trials. But if God presses them too much with the trials, people would give up. That's why Father God gradually refines people little by little, step by step. But since Job had a good heart, God knew that he was more than able to bear them all and had his evil revealed all at once. As God gave Job an awakening after all his evil had been revealed, he could cast off all the evil and become perfect. But you don't have to be concerned that God may give you trials like those of Job. It's because God wouldn't give His believers who have those concerns trials that they cannot bear. But what would He do to His children who would stay joyful and thankful in any trials and praise and pray to Him? He wouldn't refine them bit by bit, piece by piece, but do it all at once so that they could quickly discover and cast off evil and become perfect. Then He would bless them. John mentioned that no matter how hard he cried, God just turned his attention against him. This indicates that Job still acknowledged God. This indicates that Job still acknowledged God. Even while he continually complained against God with his lips, he still had his trust in God in his heart. Even though he hadn't experienced or seen God, through his good conscience, he had a faith in God from his heart. That's why he never left God even amidst the trials. I ask you to examine whether you wouldn't deny God but serve Him till the very end. Let's say you faithfully worked and volunteered for God's kingdom and sown with a lot of offerings like tithes and thanksgiving. Moreover, you've been appointed to a recognized position, been loved by many members, and given glory to God with a lot of testimonies of blessings. But one day, you get stricken with a serious disease. Your beloved children die, and your business goes bankrupt, leaving you with nothing. People start treating you with a different look, and you hear gossips about you from here and there. Some people come to provide comfort, but end up rebuking you with hurtful words like, "What sins did you commit that you are in such a disaster now? You have to find out things to repent of and thoroughly repent before God." Also, people whom you used to help out forget the favor and look away from you cold-heartedly. Then, would you complain against God saying, "I've been faithful to you and provided help to the needy, but why are you punishing me severely? Why have you left me in such tests and tribulations?" Or would you turn away from God saying, "God must not exist"? Would you lament and argue and dispute with people around you like Job did? Or would you still give heartfelt thanks to God in prayer even under that circumstance? Brothers and sisters, even when you are in such a situation, you shouldn't deny or resent God, but rather rejoice, give thanks, and pray. We have to do that. If you have such a heart, God wouldn't even need you. God wouldn't need to give you trials. If God put you through trials despite you having such a heart, that means He's prepared a great blessing for you. Moreover, now is the time of grace where we have the Holy Spirit's presence, unlike in the Old Testament times. Job hadn't met or experienced God, neither did he live in an era where they had the 66 books of the Bible. But you and I have received the Holy Spirit. On top of that, we've seen and heard about and experienced God's power numerous times, living in an environment where the words of life overflow. We are different from Job, who hadn't met or experienced God. Thus, we are to keep our faith in the Almighty and loving God who wants to give us good things always. In doing so, we are to stay joyful and thankful only. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. God wants to give us blessings. One of the greatest blessings that God gives us is the prosperity of our soul. The reason is, as our soul prospers, all things will go well with us, even on this earth, and ultimately, we can enjoy everlasting joy, staying close to the Father's throne in heaven. So God occasionally allows you trials out of His love so that you can cast off all forms of evil and have your soul prosper. But in order to keep your faith that God loves you and surely wants to bless you, you have to pray fervently and arm yourself with the Word. Only then can you receive the strength to triumph over all the trials from above and receive the work of the Holy Spirit. If you figure out the spiritual reason for your trials and remain thankful and joyful under all circumstances, this itself is a light. So the darkness has no choice but to go away. If you discover and completely cast off evil through trials and fill up your heart with the truth, you will live with Father God and our Lord, our groom, forever in New Jerusalem, the most glorious place in heaven. What a tremendous blessing that is. As for people who love God, whatever trials faces them, they reflect on themselves and conquer it with joy and thanksgiving. As the lyrics of a hymn goes, should the surges rise, the rest the later come, blessed be the tempest, kind storm, which drives us near our home. Even when a trouble like a huge storm faces us, if we overcome it with joy and gratitude, it would rather serve as a shortcut to entering New Jerusalem. Our Lord carried the cross and shed His precious blood, and we are saved. You have to think about that every day. But if you just think about His grace during some special occasions, your life will be different. You have to remember our Father God's love and the Lord's sacrifice, and we have to remember the gospel of the holiness shared by the shepherd and His teachings. He urges us to cut off the world and focus our... I think you... Some of you should also hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and recover the fullness of the Spirit so that you can go quickly towards your true home, your heaven. We read in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and He be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will always remember the love of God who wants to bless you in all situations. Make sure to achieve victory by faith, quickly come into spirit and all spirit, and truly become men of blessings.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.